Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your host. I invite fascinating humans from all walks of life to share their wisdom and unpack their mindsets and formulas for growth. Hello and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, your host, Sam Harris. And today I'm joined by Brian Biro. We just had this conversation and I've literally gone like, you're like, Sam, say it this way. And I'm like... I swear I always do this. This is how our show starts, by the way, is me getting the host, the guest's name wrong and then confusing the guest with host. Perfect. So anyway, as I was saying, you've done some cool stuff. You've written 15 books, including Beyond Success and your latest one, The ROI of Kindness, which, yeah, I'm a big believer that like kindness is actually a selfish strategy in terms of like it really just pays itself back in like tenfold. So loved that. And yeah, you've been a coach for a long time and just you spent like your life doing motivational cool things and a very welcome person to be on the show.
Well, thanks, Sam. I'm delighted to be with you. And I was excited just to see the name of your podcast, the Growth Mindset Podcast, because that's really what I've been about for my whole career.
Well, perfect.
Yeah, my focus and my passion is really about helping every single human being that I have a chance to impact to know that they're leaders, because many people have been conditioned to think that there's leaders and there's followers, but every one of us is the CEO of our own lives. In other words, we're personal leaders. How we show up every day, it's a big part of our leadership. We've all had to deal in the last 14 months with enormous challenge, change, uncertainty. That's a big part of your leadership. Probably most important of all, what kind of impact do you have on other people? Do you lift them up? Do you neutralize? Do you bring them down? So I want every individual to know right off the bat that you are a leader, but I really focus on a new kind of leadership, a fresh leadership, which I call breakthrough leadership. And breakthrough leadership is really zeroed in on controlling your controllables. You know, Sam, when you control your controllables, you have confidence, you have momentum, you feel like you're moving forward, you're completely out of overwhelm. It's when we try to control our uncontrollables that we get depressed, worried, doubtful, frustrated, angry. And so many people have been conditioned to think that it's all about focusing on the result. But my work in breakthrough leadership is about focusing on what you put in order to get to those results. You know, I'm a great believer in the KISS principle, keep it simple, superstar. Three simple but dynamic controllables. The first is to shape your future, and that's about vision. The second is to energize and engage your team. Human performance is a huge part of that, is all about your energy, and energy is a choice. And finally, to build people, build teams, and build relationships. No matter what business you're in, no matter what your profession, you're in the people business. It's the relationships you build. It's the way that you grow and the way that you help and assist others to grow that's going to determine not only the success you achieve along the way, but the fun you have and the relationships you have, the real fulfillment that you receive from what you do. So I call that model, shape the future, energize, engage the team, build people, teams, and relationships, breakthrough leadership. And it's for every single person to rise up and move closer to the potential.
This is going to be fun. I certainly think that it's really empowering to make people realize that they are the CEO of their own lives and that there's no one with more responsibility for what you're doing than you yourself. And I think a lot of people do sometimes struggle. They kind of expect things come their way from others, or like they kind of can be very dependent on like the winds of change or like whatever's going on in their life and blame like the lifestyle of like victim mindset as opposed to like victor, like it's up to you, like whatever's going wrong, you can do or and things. So cool. I like that.
That's right. If things are to change, I must change. That's a great way to look at it. And so many people have forgotten that they really have choices, because when you get right down to it, the only thing you have to do in life is die. Everything else is a matter of choices. And there's consequences to those choices. But when you start to look at life that way, that I have a choice, not necessarily what happens to me, but I have complete choice is how do I respond to what happens to me? And it's not what happens, it's what you do that makes the difference. So when you come from that what I would say is a foundation of a growth mindset, you switch from kind of your internal self-talk of saying, I have to do this, I have to work, I have to go this place, I have to do this and that, to I want to, choose to, like to, love to. And that is an entirely different mindset. because you feel like you're making positive steps in your life. And it doesn't mean that you won't run into obstacles, because you will. But even when you hit those obstacles, because you've conditioned yourself to look things with that expectancy that says, you know, I can change my course. I can make a new choice. I can adjust. That allows you a whole different level of confidence, a whole different level of feeling of creativity and flexibility. And it really makes the difference in your life. So that's really what it comes down to, is really understanding that we do have choices about how we respond to anything, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a miscommunication, whether it's, you know, a new job or a whole new scenario that you had no idea was coming at you. Great example. I'm a professional speaker for 30 years. I've spoken all around the world. That's what I do. I love doing it. I love speaking at live events. Spoken to nearly a million people all over the world. As of March last year, I had 80 events booked for the rest of the year already. By the end of March, I had zero events booked. Every single event was gone. Live events were shut down. And so it'd be a really easy place to think, oh my gosh, look what happened to me. I have no choice. I'm in bad place. And I will admit, a few of those thoughts started to pound my head a little bit. But then I realized, hey, guess what? I still have a choice. I still have a chance to adjust my course, to learn new things. And in 1 year, I've probably done more learning in an area I thought I had already mastered than I had ever done before, because within every adversity is planted the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. In other words, the toughest challenges we go through in life, aren't they usually the things from which we grow the most? So that's really what it's about. It's making those choices, controlling those controllables.
Yeah, cool. I love that. As in, it's often hard to see in the moment, but I think it's almost effectively like badly, in that I can be a bit masochistic sometimes, where you kind of almost lean into like pain and things, because if I know that that's where the growth's going to happen, then sometimes can like lead you to be a bit reckless. But when you start to notice that you are anti-fragile, and when everything goes completely tits up and your life gets awful, like actually this is like the brewing of something awesome that's about to happen, you kind of don't feel below so much. And it's just like a part of the, okay, this is the ride that I didn't expect to get to my ultimate success. And it's really empowering when you realize that. And I love that quote of the only thing you have to do in life is die. Everything else is a choice. I think it really just shows you how much power you have.
And it's conditioned from when we're little kids. As parents, we're well-meaning, but here's what we do. Especially when children are very young, we want to protect them. We want to keep them safe, which we should. But we teach them these words: you have to do this or else something bad's going to happen to you. You have to do what I want you to do or else something bad will happen. And we do that over and over again with good intention. But over time, what happens is that conditions in the or else. And you don't say it anymore. But as you get older and you keep saying to yourself, I have to do this, the or else is still in there. And that or else is thinking, it doesn't matter what it is. It's, oh, something bad's coming. And so when we live from a I have to perspective, it creates an energy around us and in us that is fear-driven rather than faith-driven. And when you break through, and I'm calling them the America's Breakthrough Coach, the world's breakthrough coach, because I believe we're in the breakthrough business, breaking through from fear to freedom, from failure to faith, from ego to we go, and from good to great. And ultimately, every real breakthrough is just the same one. You break through from fear to love and faith. And that's what we're all about in our lives. Because when we break through that obstacle of fear, obstacle, habit, or doubt, that's when we can really begin to move with energy towards our potential.
So I have a big announcement for you. I've spoken a lot over the past few years about this podcast app idea that I've had called Syncify. And finally, it is actually live. You can go on to the website, syncify.fm, and you can create a login. You can connect with me and other podcast hosts and friends, if you invite them as well, and listen to podcasts. Or there's an app for it as well. So if you are on iOS or on Android, you can just type Syncify into the app stores. That's Syncify, S-Y-N-C-I-F-Y. And yeah, it actually works. So I built a social podcast app where you can find and add friends, see what each other listens to, share your favorite podcasts. You can comment on and engage with podcast episodes and with the podcast owners and their guests. I'm really loving using it. I mean, I did make it myself, but it's so nice that I actually have friends in the app and discovering new stuff from them. We're discussing great content, and I just truly love to have any of you join me in the app, where you can connect with me, talk about the show, talk about mindsets directly with me and my guests, or just discuss whatever else interests you and other great content that you enjoy. So yeah, really looking forward to having a place where I can finally connect with my listeners a bit more in the app. That's syncify.fm, and hopefully talk to you soon.
One thing I wanted to ask about then was, do you have an example of a story, more specifically, of where you then realized that you had a choice that maybe was something you used to find difficult and like maybe sort of troubled you in business or life and like used to make you angry, and then you realized that actually that was just a whole choice?
Oh, yes. When I was 21 years old and I was just graduating from college, I had grown up, as many people my age have grown up, with a father who was, in many ways, he was my hero, but he was also somebody who just could not give me praise, could not express love in a way that I could receive. And so, you know, he was tough. And so growing up, that sort of started to build into me this drive. And it wasn't conscious, it was subconscious. But what it was really telling me was that I got to be the best at everything I do, because maybe if I'm great in school or I'm great in sports or both, then maybe my dad will tell me he's proud of me. Maybe then he'll tell me that he loves me. Maybe then he'll actually give me a hug. And so that became kind of the part of me. And what that evolved into was this incredible focus on what other people thought about me, and also about comparing myself to others, and this inner crazy drive that I had to be the best at whatever I did. Now, at that time, I was no fun to play with. If you wanted to play a tennis match with me, you would end up not enjoying it a bit, because I had to win. I had to beat everybody. Well, one day, in the depths of maybe the darkest moment in my life, when I wondered if I was, when I finally realized that I never felt good enough. See, when you live to compare, when you depend upon the need for approval, you're never good enough. In the moment you get that approval, your fear becomes, what if I don't have it tomorrow? And that's who I was. I was a walking, talking, depressing person who really lived for other people's approval. And one day I changed one word in my life, and it changed my life. I realized that day that I had spent my entire life chasing after this ridiculous thing called being the best. And that one day I changed it, my whole focus, to pursuing life with the simple joy of going after being my best. So from the best to my best was an incredible new choice, a new transformation. Because what that shift did is it shifted me from constantly living for the need for approval to instead looking inside and focusing on what I controlled, focusing on my effort, my energy, my attitude. It switched me from feeling like I had to do what others wanted me to do, to really zeroing in and starting to choose the things that I wanted to do. So that's how powerful a choice can be, a shift from living your life with the goal of being the best to one that simply says, I'm going after being my best. It actually adds to a feeling of growth, because you're constantly focusing on the things you need to do to grow. So There's a really personal example that was more than 45 years ago, and my entire life changed and took a new trajectory. I guarantee you, I would not be with you today, Sam, had I not had that one new choice, because it shifted everything that me on the path that ended up being on this podcast.
Yeah, wow, perfect. I'm so glad that you made that choice. It's great to have you here talking about these things, firstly. And then secondly, yeah, it's a really important point around, I think that's a super growth mindset related around just always striving to do your own best and thinking about how you can improve yourself. It's not like a race against others. And that also, that does limit you, because if you are like comparing yourself, let's say you want to be a good runner, and then you look at like Usain Bolt, you're like, well, I'm never going to genetically be better than this guy. Like, you give up. What's the point of that? As in, if you love running, you should just keep going, you know?
Absolutely. It's funny that you use that example, because I did several marathons and I was a long distance runner when I shifted my path. Because until that moment, I had never done anything strictly just because I loved it. And I loved running. And I started to run for myself. And my peak experience as a runner, this will put it into, and I hope I can express it in a way that everybody can really get. I was running. I lived in Southern California. I was going to graduate school at UCLA. I was running down towards the beach on a really popular place to run. And for no reason in particular, all of a sudden, I just started to run as hard as I could at the end of a very long run. And for about 200 meters, that's all it was, I ran as hard as I possibly could. Nobody was around. I didn't do it for anybody else. I did it for just what was inside of me at that moment. It was kind of like that old movie, Rocky, running up the thing. I mean, I was putting every ounce. And when I finally ran that last 200 meters or so, and I couldn't take another step, I burst into tears. And it was tears of absolute joy, because what I realized was in that 200 meters, I'd actually given the most I could possibly give. I couldn't have tried to run any faster or any harder. And it hit me how rarely we actually do that. How rarely we actually give everything that's really inside of us, even for 200 meters, even for 1 minute. And it was such an overwhelming high to get my potential, because there's tons of people who could have run faster than me in that moment, but none could have tried any harder than I was trying to. And it was just me. Nobody saw me. Thank goodness not there were many people around when I started bursting into tears. They probably would have come to me and wondered what was wrong, but it was an incredible experience that was completely about just going after my best in that moment and actually feeling really close to my best in that moment. So that's what comes when you really love what you do and you just pour your heart into it. As I've said, I've been a professional speaker for more than 30 years. And this will sound odd to you, Sam, I'm sure. I don't speak for the audience. I love the audience. I want them to enjoy it. I want them to get value. I want my speaking to be a catalytic event that helps them make changes in their lives. But the reason that I speak and the reason why I love it isn't because of what comes back from the audience. It's the way I feel when I'm doing my speaking. I feel like I'm actually doing what I'm here on earth to do. And I joke about it, but it's completely true. When I'm on stage, I am 25 years old. When I'm off stage, I'm back to 66. But on stage, I'm 25 because I'm living with such purpose and such a sense that I'm not doing this for what comes back. I'm doing it for how I can serve and what I can put out. And that is an awesome way to live a life.
Definitely. And yes, it's really interesting the way I think when you learn to be able to channel your thoughts and you just find that speaking really brings those things out of you in the best. It's like, it's really nice of finding purpose in things. Like I totally agree with what you're saying. Nice. And just a good story in general around the whole mentality of these things. And yeah, because I think that's something I've found in relationships as well, is like I kind of notice the relationships where, as well as work, but like the people I'm around, when I feel like I'm being my best person because I'm around them, like I'm like excited to be like this better person, like those are the ones that you kind of want to do stick around. And that's sort of, that's more what I look for, rather than sort of, oh, I should have a relationship with a person who has X, Y, Z qualities. It's more like, okay, do they bring X, Y, Z out in me and that I'm excited and stuff? And I think that's a really important sort of framing of who you spend time with and like what you spend time doing. Does it like bring out the best of you and like make you feel like you're fulfilling your purpose? So yeah, thanks for that.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.